15. You help her forget the world outside. You're not part of it yet. And if you could drive, you could drive her away. Misli ste, da je game over, ampak v bistvu še ni, odločili smo se, da bomo prebrali še eno depešo. Tatjana se bo žrtvovala. In za tiste poslušalce, ki ste se danes odločili, da boste poslušali cel ta depeš mod program, no, vas bomo posebej zajebali, ker bo treba poslušati še eno. Klicali so z ruske ambasade in se pritožili, da ni bila nobena v Rusiji, tako da pač ta pade na temo Rusijo. Rusije. In sicer o ruskih zaporih in razmerah tam. Ok, Tatjana, tvoja beseda.
Russian prisons, classified by Ambassador William J. Burns for reason 1.4. The Russian prison system combines the country's emblematic features, vast distances, harsh climate, and an uncaring bureaucracy, and fuses them into a massive instrument of punishment. Russia imprisons a greater portion of its population than almost any other country in the world, second only to the US. In contrast to other Western countries, the system is foremost focused on punishment, not rehabilitation, and while statistics are difficult to compare, produces a lower rate of recidivism. Recent prison riots, new prisoner shock tactics, and smuggled videos of prison mistreatment have highlighted the cruelties and corruption in the system. Health conditions in Russian prisons are poor, and infection rates for contagious diseases are much higher than in the general population. But surprisingly, the mortality rate for men in these prisons is only one-third the rate on the outside, a statistic that says much more about the dangers of alcoholism and road safety than it does about healthy living behind bars. Reports of abuses in the prison system have been answered with calls for reform. Most recently in the Human Rights Ombudsman's annual report and by the President's Human Rights Council. While NGO activists such as the embattled Lev Ponomarev praise the work of Lukin, the insurmountable challenges posed by the physical and cultural nature of the prison system mean that efforts to improve conditions or to alter the character of the system from punishment to rehabilitation are likely to produce only superficial improvements. Structure of the prison system. The Federal Service for the Execution of Punishments, part of the Ministry of Justice, administers more than 700 Russian jails and prisons across the country. This cable does not address the military prison system operated by the Ministry of Defense. There are four levels of incarceration as prisoners move through the justice system. temporary police custody facilities for those held pending charges, pretrial detention facilities, SIZOs for those charged with crimes, lower security correctional labor colonies, ITKs, and high security prisons for more dangerous prisoners and for those who violate the rule of ITKs. Convicted juveniles serve their sentence in educational labor colonies, VTKs, for juveniles, in almost all cases separate from adult prisoners. According to Lev Ponomarev, who recently established the NGO for Prisoners' Rights, the authorities use a two-tier system of administration. The prison officials and the guards protect the perimeter of the facilities and provide the upper layer of security, but then they elevate select prisoners to act as internal enforcers among the other prisoners. These elite prisoners receive privileges and protections in return for enforcing a brutal form of order within the prisons. Ponomarev called this a low-risk ghetto system for the guards. If one of their enforcers gets killed by another, they can just promote a new one, maybe even the one that killed the last boss. Ponomarev told us that the prisoners have little choice and cited an example of one member of the National Bolshevik Party who was sent into solitary confinement for 1 year for refusing to act as an enforcer. This system of using prisoners to enforce discipline and order was formally established by the Ministry of Justice in 2005. According to William Smirnov, a member of the President's Council on Human Rights, the MOJ formalized a system that had long existed. Smirnov defended the system, telling us that it was not a bad idea, but it was poorly implemented. According to Victoria Sergeyeva of Prison Reform International, PRI in Moscow, the source of the problems is the Ministry of Justice and the FSIN. The low pay and low prestige of prison administrators and guards, combined with a lack of oversight and accountability, have created an abusive system rife with cruelty and corruption. Guards use violence, threats of violence, or the lack of protection to extort prisoners. Other guards take bribes for allowing relatives to smuggle in goods to prisoners. Sergeyeva said that prison administrators knew what was occurring and probably received a cut from the guards. During the last year, there have been scattered reports of uprisings in prisons, including a revolt and jailbreak at the youth prison in Togliatti, Samara Oblast. According to Ponomarev, this revolt was triggered by the transfer of a large number of 20-year-old prisoners to an adult prison. By law, he explained, convicts sentenced before they turn 18 are sent to youth prisons, where they may stay until they turn 21, at which time they are transferred to an adult prison. Other protest actions, such as hunger strikes, are still common, but Ponomarev described a new shock tactic whereby prisoners will en masse slice open a vein on their arms or neck in protest of mass beatings. While the poor conditions in the prisons have not further deteriorated in the past few years, the prisoners are becoming more organized. Smuggled cell phones are enabling prisoners to communicate better and to coordinate mass action, said Ponomarev.
It's a long time, and the times change.
Distance, climate, and isolation as punishment. The prison system incorporates Russia's vast distances and harsh climate into the system of punishment. Although the law states that prisoners should not be incarcerated outside the region where they lived or were convicted unless local prisons are overcrowded, this rule is routinely disregarded, according to Sergeyeva. Many prisons are located in isolated regions with harsh climates and use buildings that are not adequately heated, cooled, or ventilated. Often, the transfer of prisoners far from their homes is due to space concerns, but it is also used as a form of punishment for troublesome prisoners. The best-known example of this treatment is Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who is imprisoned in Chita, nearly 3,000 miles from his native Moscow. His associate, Platon Lebedev, is imprisoned nearly 1,200 miles from Moscow above the Arctic Circle. The Moscow-based Open Health Institute, OHI, reported that this physical isolation leads to personal isolation and that between 50 and 80% of all prisoners had not received any visitors in the prior 3 months. This isolation from family and friends has negative repercussions on future rehabilitation and reintegration into society. Due to the nature of this federal, not regional system, juveniles and women are more likely to be located far from their homes. For example, there are only 3 prisons in the country for the 1,000 girl prisoners, one in Tomsk for all of Siberia and the Far East, one in Ryazan and one in Belgorod. This great distance makes it almost impossible for families to have regular contact with their children. Prison guards still rely heavily on traditional forms of violence and deprivation to maintain control. Solitary confinement for long periods, sometimes longer than 1 year, while illegal, is reportedly used, and some isolation cells are too small for the inmate to fully stretch out lying down. In what Ponomarev said was a typical incident, he showed us a video filmed by a guard and sent anonymously to For Prisoners' Rights. The video, since posted on YouTube, shows prison guards marching out prisoners in a Sverdlovsk Oblast prison past docks. Some prisoners were then stripped to the waist, stretched out over tables, and then beaten with billy clubs by the guards. This is routine behavior, said Ponomarev. What is different is that it was recorded. REN TV aired short segments of the video during an evening newscast. A recent news report from Kalmykia claimed that after a new warden was appointed to a local SIZO, the Ministry of Justice Special Forces visited the prison and beat up every detainee, saying that it was a greeting from the new warden. Ponomarev said that such reports surfaced relatively rarely, and that prison administrators will continue to exploit their remote locations and be able to ward off scrutiny from the press, NGOs, or government watchdogs. According to Sergeyeva, the recidivism rate in Russia is only 36%, compared to more than 50% in the United States or the United Kingdom. She attributed this low number to a combination of factors, including the longer average Russian prison term, which keeps men in jail, and a genuine fear of returning to prison. Note: it is difficult to evenly compare the US and Russian statistics, since US conditions vary from state to state and from the federal prisons. End note. We still have the problem that when these prisoners return to society, they have no system of assistance. The federal budget finances the prisons and the punishment, but they leave it up to regional and local government to finance the rehabilitation and health costs. They break them, and then we own them. Health conditions. Conditions in pre-detention facilities, SIZOs, are generally worse than in the prisons. The prison system does not have enough SIZOs to handle the large number of the accused, and overcrowding and squalid conditions are widespread. Many SIZOs lack toilets, and inmates use buckets. In a well-documented case at the European Court of Human Rights, Mazit versus Russia, number 63378/00, the court found Russia in violation of the prohibition of inhuman or degrading treatment by placing Yuri Mazit in severely overcrowded cells with less than 2 square meters per person. The Russian legal minimum is 4 square meters per person. The European minimum is 7 square meters per person. According to human rights activists and the ombudsman Lukin, similar conditions, or worse, exist throughout the system. Health conditions in prisons are poor. Overcrowding is common. The infection rates of resistant TB and HIV/AIDS are much higher than in the general population. And even though the TB infection rate has greatly decreased since 1999, the active TB rate among prisoners is still 5 times higher than in the civilian population. According to the Open Health Institute, OHI, there were 41,500 inmates with HIV/AIDS in 2006, approximately 10% of the cases in the country. Prisoners with active TB are segregated from the regular prison population and are given rigorous medical treatment, but because the treatment of normal TB lasts up to 12 months and even longer, for drug-resistant TB, many prisoners are released before they complete treatment, and an estimated 40% fail to continue their treatment on the outside. A 2005 study by OHI revealed that former prisoners carry these infections back to the general population upon their release, and they account for an estimated 20% of new TB cases in the civilian population.
a question of control.
The Open Health Institute, Deputy Director Alexei Bobrik, reported a counter-initiative statistic that even though the mortality rate from infectious diseases was greater in prisons than in the general population, the overall mortality rate for men in prison was only one-third that of the general population. Bobrik and the other OHI researchers attributed this to the absence of binge drinking, car accidents, and industrial accidents in prison. Long-term health for inmates, however, suffers greatly as the poor nutrition, stress, and disease manifest themselves later in life. Comment.
With no conscience, repentance, and now close your eyes, pay the price for your paradise. Devil's feet on the seas of the sun.
A system as vast and entrenched as the Russian prison system will be difficult, if not impossible, to reform. The nature of the system, which has not substantially varied as it has evolved from Tsarist prisons to the Gulag to today's system, nurtures the spread of disease, abuse, and corruption. Observers agree that the combination of distance, isolation, corruption, and general indifference to the plight of convicts combine to create a system that is brutal and will resist attempts to reveal its inner workings or to change it.